KOIN in Portland. It's 11 o'clock.
CBS News. Another firefight in the Middle East along the Israeli-Lebanese frontier. This is Doug Poling reporting on the CBS radio network. Details on the incident reported by Bruno Wassertil in Tel Aviv.
Seven Israeli soldiers were reported wounded in a clash Tuesday night with Arab guerrillas in the South Lebanese village of Kala. According to an army spokesman, an Israeli force entered the village during the night to carry out a combing operation for Fedayeen, who were believed to be hiding there. While the search was in progress, the spokesman said, submachine gun fire was opened up at the raiding party from two houses. A gun duel developed with the Israeli force, and the two houses were blown up. Returning to Israeli territory, the soldiers took with them seven Arab villagers suspected of collaborating with the guerrillas. The village of Kala lies a few hundred yards from the Israeli border and about a mile from the Israeli settlement of Metula, where three Arab infiltrators were killed in a shootout last week. Several mortar shells are said to have been fired from Lebanese territory at Metula early Wednesday, but reports from the settlement say there were no casualties or damage. Bruno Wassertil for CBS News in Tel Aviv.
There is some speculation that Egyptian President Sadat may be prepared to reverse his earlier position and allow United Nations troops to stay in the Sinai. Sadat said he's not yet made up his mind. The mandate for the UN troop presence runs out on Thursday. Following a statement earlier in the month that he would not renew it, the UN Security Council appealed to Sadat to let the forces stay. More news in a moment.
Pop a cap, rain on the great unexpected beer.
Michelob, it's an unexpected pleasure, and it's been that way ever since Anheuser-Busch rolled out the first Michelob barrel in 1896.
Rain on the great taste of Michelob.
The unexpected pleasure.
The great taste of Michelob.
The unexpected pleasure.
Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Here at Red Cross National Headquarters in Washington, D.C., there is a small museum reflecting a great many years of service to the American people, a Hall of Mercy. Down this corridor, history comes to life, a history of people helping people, the story of Red Cross assistance. Yes, this is a small tribute to those who are ever extending a helping hand, just like a good neighbor, and that's what the Red Cross is all about.
A White House source says President Ford is still optimistic about working out an energy compromise with Congress. That comment came after the House voted down the president's plan to gradually decontrol domestic oil prices. The president is expected to allow present controls to expire August 31st if there is no compromise between now and then. That could trigger a sudden and sharp increase in gasoline prices. Some Democrats, including announced presidential candidate Morris Udall, are sharply critical of Mr. Ford's decontrol proposals.
The effect of this, the president's program to decontrol oil, is going to be disastrous. It's a catastrophe. We're doing to ourselves something worse than what the Arabs did to us 2 years ago. And the president is getting awfully bad advice from these hardball players down at the White House.
Udall says the president's plan would add 3 or 4 points to the inflation rate. The Soviet government has bestowed several awards on the two cosmonauts that took part in the joint flight with the United States. Colonel Alexei Leonov was promoted to one-star general. Leonov and his comrade, Valery Kubasov, were also given a number of medals. The Apollo astronauts are still in orbit. They'll hold a news conference Wednesday morning and prepare to return to Earth. Splashdown is set for Thursday afternoon in the Pacific. Interior Secretary Stanley Hathaway has been admitted to Bethesda Naval Hospital. The White House says Hathaway is suffering from moderate depression brought about by physical exhaustion and fatigue. Administration sources have told CBS News that Hathaway earlier this month tried to resign, but President Ford instead told him to get treatment. The sources also said those tough Senate confirmation hearings helped bring on Hathaway's illness. Attorney General Edward Leavy has proposed new gun control legislation. His program would ban the importing, manufacture, and sale of cheap handguns known as Saturday Night Specials. Leavy also wants to tighten up all handgun sales. Now this.
Are you an unpublished author? Do you have a book-length manuscript ready or almost ready for publication? Or do you know of anyone else who is an unpublished author? If so, Vantage Press invites you to write to a leading New York publisher for a free illustrated brochure titled To the Author in Search of a Publisher. It explains how you may have your manuscript printed and published in a matter of months. Just write to GPO Box 1414, New York, New York. Whether your subject is fiction, nonfiction, poetry, or even scientific, specialized or controversial, This 52-page brochure shows you how to arrange for prompt publication. To get your copy, write to GPO Box 1414, New York, New York. That's GPO Box 1414, New York, New York. If this is your first book, you'll find this free brochure especially valuable and informative. Write to GPO Box 1414, New York, New York. GPO Box 1414, New York, New York.
Christina Onassis, one of the world's wealthiest women, was married Tuesday in a chapel in a suburb of Athens. The 24-year-old daughter of the late millionaire Aristotle Onassis married 30-year-old Alexander Andriatis, the son of a wealthy Greek businessman. Jacqueline Kennedy Onassis almost upstaged the bride. Women in the crowd yelled, "Jackie, Jackie," when Mrs. Onassis arrived for the wedding. Doug Poling, CBS News.
Oregon Governor Bob Straub says individual states cannot act alone to solve their shortage problems and are thus being shortchanged by the lack of a federal energy policy. Straub says the lack of a national policy will place unreasonable burden on states who cannot act independently, and says his state faces a potential electricity shortage by 1978 and natural gas shortages before then. Well, it's up to Spokane County authorities now to assume custody of Carl Cletus Bowles and bring him to Washington to face murder charges in the deaths of Earl and Viola Hunter of Eugene. Bowles is currently at the Idaho State Prison in Boise, but Idaho authorities say the paperwork is now completed and Spokane County can assume temporary custody of Bowles any time. Bowles was accused last September of murdering the Hunters a little over a year ago. Despite a controversy over selling wheat to the Soviet Union, West Coast dock workers say the grain ships will be loaded, at least in Seattle. The Seattle local of the Dock Workers Union says it's the union's policy to encourage two-way trade between Russian, China, and the United States. Dock workers elsewhere are still discussing whether to refuse to load the wheat ships bound for Russia. As far as a Sandpoint, Idaho prosecutor is concerned, perjury charges have not been ruled out in connection with the death of a Poplar, Montana man near the Idaho town. The circumstances surrounding the death of Gerald Brown have been under investigation after it was learned that Brown had been let out of a police car shortly before being struck by a truck on a highway just outside of town. A 14-year-old Roseburg youth, Kenneth Rogers, drowned while swimming with a companion in the South Umpqua River at Roseburg. Police who were called to rescue the companion from a sandbar where he had been stranded today found Rogers and tried unsuccessfully to revive him. Two window washers were almost casual about being stranded for 2 hours today, 350 feet above the pavement in downtown Portland. Marianne Lohr, a Molino, Oregon grandmother, who is Portland's only female window washer, reacted this way. "We weren't scared. It was all in a day's work." Mrs. Lohr and her partner, John Van Garder, rescued themselves, repairing a power cable that had pulled loose and then returning to the top of the 560-foot First National Bank building. They were washing windows at the 27th floor when the power cable ceased to work. Scores of spectators observed their plight on the side of the state's tallest building. The Portland Fire Department sent its tallest ladder and a trained rescue crew with ropes prepared to rappel down the building from the top, but their assistance wasn't needed. The weather for Portland, Vancouver, fair tonight. Sunny and hot Wednesday and Thursday, lows 55 to 60, highs Wednesday in the low 90s, middle 90s on Thursday. Chance of measurable rain, zero through Wednesday night. Right now in downtown Portland, 68 degrees. That's KOIN News to 1109. I'm Bill Garrity.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... G. Marshall, inviting you to join my class in mental calisthenics, where we exercise the most mysterious muscle in the human body, the imagination. "Enough," said the poet, "is as good as a feast." But what is enough? Mr. Webster tells us it means sufficient. But what does sufficient mean? That's right. It means enough. So we go round and round. And because it's so hard to agree on what constitutes enough of anything, we find that we have more than enough of murder.
How did you kill those men?
Magic.
Magic. Okay, I can wait for you to tell the truth.
I wrote them each a letter.
And the letters killed them.
They read the letters, and it killed them dead.
That's impossible.
Why do you say it's impossible?
Because words on paper alone can't kill anybody.
That isn't so, Sergeant. Didn't you ever hear the saying, the pen is mightier than the sword?
Our mystery drama, The Poisoned Pen, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Sam Dan and stars Roberta Maxwell and Michael Tolan. It is sponsored in part by Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, brewers of Budweiser, and Sinoff, the sinus medicines. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
Way back in 1876, it was brewed and aged to deliver a taste, a smoothness, and a drinkability found in no other beer at any price. I'm talking about Budweiser. And it's still brewed that way today, with pride, without compromise, to be the king of beers. The largest selling beer in the history of the world, for one simple reason. That Beechwood-aged Budweiser taste. And that speaks for itself. Hear it talking?
When you say Bud, you say you care enough to only want the king of beers. There is no other one, there's only something less, because the king of beers is leading all the rest. When you say Budweiser,
you've said it all.
Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis.
Here's a tip from your Better Business Bureau on the metric system. Have you noticed the metric measurements on packaged foods at your supermarket lately? Soon the metric system of measurement will be commonplace all around the country, and you should be ready for it. Look carefully at the metric measurements on the foods you buy. They may seem bewildering at first, but they make a lot more sense than the system of measurement we're currently using. For example, right now, fluid measures are expressed in gallons, quarts, and pints. Dry measures are expressed in bushels, pecks, dry quarts, and pints. And a dry quart is 16% larger in volume than a liquid quart. By using the metric system, however, you only need to know one unit of measurement for liquid volume, the liter. All other fluid measurements are multiples of the liter. And similarly, dry volumes are measured by the gram and multiples of the gram. This has been a tip from your Better Business Bureau on the metric system.
Every year, New York is inundated by a bright wave of eager, anxious, would-be stars. Girls so young, so fresh, so beautiful, they can break your heart. They come here to sing, to dance, to act. In short, to make it big in the big time. And like the waves that roll up on the beaches, they soon recede and disappear and are gone without a trace. Are they good enough? There's that word enough again. In most cases, the answer is no. But it doesn't matter. So great a multitude clamors for a place in the spotlight, and yet there is only room for so tiny a handful. Let us concern ourselves with a theatrical agent named Barney Hogarth.
What's that, Fred? You didn't get your check. It's impossible. I put it in the mail last night. Don't yell at me. Your argument's with the U.S. government. Freddy, pal, I swear to you, it's in the mail and it ain't gonna bounce. Hey, Proudfoot, come in here.
You sent for me, Mr. Hogarth?
How many times do I have to tell you? When Fred Sinclair calls, I'm out.
Now, please, Mr. Hogarth, you're shouting at me again. And it makes me so nervous. I really become ill.
Is there any mail?
I can't do my work.
Did the mail come?
Mail? Oh, well, now, let me get my thoughts together.
What's that in your hand?
Yes, it's the mail.
That one letter? It must be some actor looking for work. What do they want from me, these people? Come on, read it. Well, what are you standing for like a dummy?
Now, I can only do one thing at a time, Mr. Hogarth. I came in here to ask you something.
Yeah?
Well, I haven't been paid in a month.
We'll talk about it after lunch.
Now, Mr. Hogarth, you...
You give me a hard time and we won't talk about it at all. Oh, read me the letter, huh?
Yes, sir.
Don't these actresses know letters don't mean a thing?
No, dear Mr. Hogarth, 6 months ago, a young lady approached a gentleman on the street. She was starving. She was desperate. She needed money for her lodging. She said to the gentleman, sir, I will do anything for $50.
What is this, a gag?
But this gentleman looked at her with deep compassion, and he said, poor child, take the money and bless you. It's a crazy world. I, that girl, have come into a considerable inheritance. I'm wealthy. I wish to prove the biblical adage, cast your bread upon the waters. I wish to reward your generosity a thousandfold. I have tried to find you. I believe you to be a Mr. Barney Hogarth.
Hey, tear that thing up.
If you are the man, please tell me so, and I will send you a check for $50,000. I enclose a stamped, self-addressed envelope for your convenience, signed, Forever in Your Debt. And, that's what it says.
That's what it says, huh?
Yes, sir, Mr. Hogarth.
And, what's the address on the envelope where I'm supposed to answer?
Well, it's just a post office box number. Mr. Hogarth, is it true?
Is what true?
The letter.
Well, what do you think? Sure, it's true.
Oh, Mr. Hogarth, I knew it. I knew that beneath your very tough exterior, you had a heart of gold.
I can remember like it was yesterday. This little chick comes up to me. Wait, where's a piece of paper? Let me write this down. Dear little girl, yes, I am that Barney Hogarth, signed Barney Hogarth. Now, here, put that in the envelope. Yeah. Yeah, I heard her proposition. And would you believe it? I began to cry. Poor kid. I gave her the $50. I would have given her more, but I didn't have it, so go figure.
No, Mr. Hogarth, you are a saint.
Oh, seal it and send it. And remember, my boy, why we are put here in this world to begin with.
Yes, sir.
We are placed here to do good to one another.
Yes, sir, I'll remember that.
And if I cannot help an unfortunate brother or a starving sister, of what use could I possibly...
Mr. Hogarth.
Well, don't interrupt
me. No, Mr. Hogarth. Oh.
What's the matter? What's the matter? What's the matter with you?
I don't know.
What?
I can't breathe. It's hot in
what
here.
What is the matter?
The room is...
What, are you sick or something?
I'm so dizzy. The room is dancing. I can't breathe. Mr. Hogarth, help me.
Proudfoot.
Oh.
Proudfoot. Come on, kid. Proudfoot.
What was his full name?
Sebastian Proudfoot.
What did he do here?
He ran the office for me. He's something the matter, Sergeant.
Where was he from?
I don't know. Somewhere in Texas, maybe.
Did he have any enemies?
Maybe Oklahoma, one of them places out west. Enemies? How should I know?
He worked for you for 3 years. You ought to know something.
What do you know about young kids today, especially in this business? They're all crazy. Who can keep track of what they do?
You can't tell me anything about his private life?
Listen, what is all this? I thought he died of a heart attack.
He did.
Then what are the cops buzzing around for?
The heart attack was brought on by a poison. He was murdered.
You're kidding. I mean, who'd want to murder him?
Had he been acting strangely?
Well, who knows what would be strange for him?
He died in your office.
Like that? Out of a clear blue sky for no reason.
Okay. That's all for now.
He was a very nice boy. Why should anybody want to kill him?
I wish to reward your generosity a thousandfold. I have tried to find you, and I believe you to be a Mr. Joseph Carraway. If you are the man, tell me so. And I will send you a check for $50,000. I enclose a stamped, self-addressed envelope. If I'm that man. Well.
Joseph?
Hmm? Oh,
Oh, yes, my dear.
I know you're quite busy.
Oh, no, please come in.
I was afraid I might interrupt the muse.
No, no. She's abandoned me this morning, I fear.
Oh, when the first draft was coming along so nicely, too.
Where are you going?
Well, I thought I'd drive downtown. Is there anything you'd like me to pick up?
No, I don't think so, my dear.
Well, I could mail the letter for you.
Letter?
The one you just sealed.
Oh, this letter.
And does it need a stamp?
No. It's all ready for posting. And thank you, my dear.
It's addressed to a box number.
Oh, it's just an inquiry, my darling. A literary inquiry.
Well, I shall return in time for tea. And you must promise not to work too hard.
I promise.
There's no great rush. You still have 3 months to finish the first draft.
I suppose I
don't like your color. You're so pale.
It seems to be so hot in here.
Hot? Why, the room is freezing.
I can't breathe.
Darling, what's wrong?
The room is starting to...
No. No, don't try to stand up.
I can't breathe. You move. The room is dancing.
Joseph.
I believe you to be a Mr. Frank Clancy. If you are the man, tell me so, and I will send you a check for $50,000. I enclose a self-addressed stamped envelope. Honey, you're on.
Selena!
Oh,
good morning, Mama.
Didn't you get into bad habits in New York? Sleep until 9:30 in the morning?
Mama, everybody in New York sleeps till noon.
Is that a fact? Well, I brought you your breakfast.
Oh, thank you, Mama.
Well, I have to fatten you up a bit. You got so skinny while you were away.
You keep spoiling me like this, and I never will want to go back to New York to resume my career.
How is your career coming along, Selena?
That's my problem. I can't decide which career. Should I write plays, or act, or sing, or dance? That's why I came home, to do some thinking.
Well, you don't want to think so much, and you just concentrate on your breakfast. Oh, I also brought you the New York paper.
Oh, what's in it?
What's always in a New York paper? Murder. Seems like they got a whole string of murders.
No.
Someone is running around poisoning people.
Really?
There's a Mr. Frank Clancy.
Frank Clancy? Why, he owns the Rendezvous. It's the biggest nightclub in the city.
Not anymore. Somebody fixed his wagon.
That's awful.
Then, according to the paper, you got a Mr. Joseph Carraway.
Joseph Carraway? Why, he's only one of the leading playwrights in New York.
Well, I'm sure the worms will be thrilled to hear it. Someone poisoned him.
That is terrible.
And you got another one. Mr. Sebastian Proudfoot.
Who?
Well, it is rather a peculiar name, Sebastian Proudfoot.
Sebastian? No. He shouldn't have been poisoned.
Well, honey, if you get right down to it, nobody should be poisoned.
But he wasn't supposed to.
What do you mean he wasn't supposed to?
He's a very young fellow. He was a very young fellow. And it's a shame.
Well, how would you know?
Mama, I knew all those people. After all, when you pursue a career in New York, those are the people you meet.
These people were all friends of yours?
Of course. They were all friends of mine. I just don't understand about Sebastian Proudfoot. You see, he worked for Mr. Barney Hogarth.
Barney Hogarth?
Barney is the leading theatrical agent in New York. And he's the one I meant to...
Well, you meant to what?
Nothing, Mama. You know me. I always talk to myself.
That's because you have money in the bank.
It was like poor Mr. Joseph Carraway said to me before he died. Always go back to where you came from and renew your roots.
Well, we got plenty of roots that needs digging up in the South Pasture. See you later, honey.
Yes, Mama. Oh, Sebastian. Oh, poor Sebastian. I never meant to kill Sebastian. It was Barney Hogarth that I wanted to. How did I ever manage to kill Sebastian? How?
That's an interesting enough question to leave you with for now. Here is a young lady who has already dispatched three people and may yet go for number four. How did she do it? Oh, you should know that already. Oh, yes. I've been playing scrupulously fair with you. All the clues were right out in the open. Think about it. And I shall return in just a few moments with Act Two.
In God We Trust, America Speaks. From Abraham Lincoln's creed, I believe in God, the almighty ruler of nations, our great and good and merciful maker, our Father in heaven, who notes the fall of a sparrow and numbers the hairs on our heads. I have a solemn vow registered in heaven to finish the work I am in full view of my responsibility to my God, with malice toward none, with charity for all, with firmness in the right, as God gives me to see the right.
Presented by the Catholic Communications Foundation.
O Great Spirit, whose voice in the winds I hear, and whose breath give life to all the world, hear me.
The voice is Iron Eyes Cody of the Cherokee Nation. The words are a prayer first spoken 400 years ago by his people, a people who loved the land.
Make me walk in beauty. Make my heart respect all you have made. Make me wise that I may know all you have taught my people, the lessons you have hidden in every rock.
In some Americans today, that spirit is reborn. Throughout the land, areas of thoughtless litter and pollution are being restored to their natural beauty. And yet we still have so far to go. So everyone must get involved. To contact the Keep America Beautiful team nearest you, write Keep America Beautiful, 99 Park Avenue, New York, New York. People start pollution. People can stop it.
A public service message of this station and the Advertising Council.
Her name is Selena. She's one of those honey blondes with bright blue eyes. There's laughter in her face and innocence in her smile. She's delightfully naive and refreshingly sincere. These are the signals you get from her appearance. Forget it. She's already killed three people. But so far, she's the only one who knows that.
I'm very sorry to disturb you, Mrs. Carraway.
Oh, please, Sergeant. Ask me the necessary questions.
First, did your husband know a Sebastian Proudfoot?
Oh, I don't think so.
He worked for an agent. Barney Hogarth.
No, that name isn't familiar either.
How about Frank Clancy?
No. What does all this have to do with...
Your husband and these two other men were killed by a poison called urcurare. It's a unique form of curare in that it can kill by ingestion. It's rare. They don't know much about it. It paralyzes all the motor functions. I'm sorry I had to tell you that.
Oh, it's all right.
Who had a motive for killing your husband, Mrs. Carraway?
In these things, don't you usually suspect the wife, Sergeant Garvey?
Yes. Except in this case, you'd also have to have killed two other people.
How could Joseph have been killed?
We don't know much about that poison. We don't know how it was administered or how long it needs to act.
One moment, he was active, busy, filled with life... And suddenly he couldn't breathe. The room began to dance, and he was dead.
What was he doing?
Nothing. He just finished writing a letter, and I offered to mail it for him. And he just died.
Enemies. Had he ever harmed anyone?
Harmed?
What I'm asking, Mrs. Carraway, is anyone... poorer because of him, unhappy because of him.
Oh, I don't think...
Mrs. Carraway, did he ever hurt anyone?
No. I can say in all sincerity, he never hurt anyone.
Oh.
Well, 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 if it ain't Sergeant Garvey. Have one on the house.
Only if it's lemonade. What are you doing, celebrating?
Now, what should I be celebrating?
You are now sole owner of the rendezvous with Frank Clancy out of the way.
Oh, so it really wasn't a heart attack, huh?
Who killed him?
Well, I didn't. If the joint was making the profit, I might have been tempted, but business today...
Who killed him?
Oh, Sergeant, a million people could have killed him. Popularity contest he could never have won.
Just give me a few prime candidates.
Well, I figure it's a dame.
Why?
Well, because he wasn't a guy who could, ditch a dame gracefully after he was through with her, if you know what I mean.
Let's hear more.
But some guys, Sergeant, when it's over, they know how to make a dame feel like she's not being tossed out. But him, I remember, yeah, it was a couple of, maybe 3 weeks ago. I come into the office, there's a dame there. She says to him, "I'll kill you, Frank."
She threatened to kill him?
Sure. Yeah, Frank used to lead him on, you know, promise him a job here singing or dancing. He made a good thing out of that. Yeah, the dames had come across, but he never would.
This particular dame, who was she? You know her name?
No.
Could you describe her?
Yeah. Yeah, let me try to remember what she looked like.
You're completely off base, Sergeant. Certainly no woman would have any motive to kill Joseph.
A young woman with blonde hair, blue eyes.
Oh, there are millions of young women who fit that description.
We have reason to believe that a young woman could have killed Frank Clancy. Now, why would she also have a motive to kill your husband?
I told you, I don't...
Mrs. Carraway, three men are dead. One of them your own husband. Did he have another woman?
How dare you?
It was a question that had to be asked.
If he did have another woman, then shouldn't I be the one to kill him?
That depends.
On what?
On which one of you he chose to keep.
Oh, I was downtown shopping. I called him. He was working at home. I asked him to meet me for dinner. He said he had an appointment with a producer. I decided to dine alone in Aredo's. I was sitting in a booth when I heard a familiar voice in the booth in back of me.
Well, yes, my dear, I did say I would help you with your play.
You said you would collaborate with me.
Well, now, I never actually said that I would collaborate.
You did. You know you did.
But I can't do that. Now, you write nicely. You have talent. Huh? But it's a small talent. Well,
you didn't talk this way before we went away for the weekend.
It was a mistake, Selena. It was a mistake.
Oh, yes. It was a mistake, all right.
Let me give you some money.
Money? If I wanted to sell myself, I...
Well, to be brutally frank, my dear, you were willing to sell yourself for influence, for connections, for a career.
Well, good for you. Now you came up with a Joseph Carraway type line. Now you can ease your conscience.
Look, I was just carried away by your freshness and by your beauty and your youth.
That's a good line, too. Old, but good.
Selena, please, I'll do anything for you, anything within reason.
But we're not going to collaborate on a play.
But it's impossible.
Yes, it's impossible, all right. Tell me, when did your wife find out about me?
She doesn't know.
Oh, yes, she does. She does.
Well, I never told her. Now, I would be a fool to do that, wouldn't I?
She knows there's someone else. She can sense it. You're too old for a wife and a girlfriend. She knows. And that's why you feel you have to get rid of me.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
No. If she wasn't wise, you'd keep leading me on. Well, don't worry about it.
No, my darling, I... You...
In a little while, you won't have to worry about anything.
She got up and ran out, and he went after her.
Were you able to see what she looked like?
No.
And her name was Selena?
Yes.
Selena what?
I don't know.
So she ran out and he ran after her. And what happened later?
I don't know.
I mean, between you and your husband?
Nothing.
Isn't that kind of unusual?
No, Sergeant. Many people just accept it.
many people simply cannot make an issue of it. They're frightened. They don't know where it will lead. Besides, I knew it was all over and that it would never happen again.
So, there's a blonde-haired, blue-eyed girl named Selena.
Sergeant, I told you before, in a diplomatic way, he didn't go out with girls.
Does the name Selena mean anything to you?
Selena?
Blonde hair, blue eyes.
Yeah. There was a dame, Selena.
Then he did go out with her.
No, he didn't go out with her. The fact is, I did.
You?
Well, I didn't go out with her exactly, if you know what I mean. I saw her a couple of times and,
Yes?
Well, I got rid of her.
Why?
Why? Well, that's personal, isn't it?
We're dealing here with what could very well be first-degree murder. Withhold any facts or evidence, and you're an accessory. Would you like any part of that?
No, I'm only too happy to cooperate with the law. It's the duty of every citizen. After all, our government is only as strong
as... About this girl, Selena?
Well, you know how they come in here looking for an agent, and she was... Well, she was different. I mean, she was the same, but she was so fresh, you know, right off the farm, and I... You know the type?
And?
Well, I said, somebody's going to pluck this little blossom sooner or later, so why not you, Barney Hogarth?
And you did.
I tell you, I was willing to get very serious, but she made a real terrible scene in a club one night.
How's the part coming, Barney?
The part? Oh, the part. Oh, great. Listen, honey, where are you living now?
Shouldn't I be meeting the producer?
You see, I was thinking...
Doesn't he want to meet me?
A kid like you, you really need somebody to... You need somebody to watch over you. You know, this can be an awful town for innocent young girls.
If I'm going to play the lead in his new show, I would think...
Selena, honey, you just leave all the thinking to me. Ain't I your agent?
The only reason I bring this up is... You told me his name was Roderick Kendall, and the play is called No More Love.
I
read in the paper that Rosemary Stewart has just been signed.
Oh. Well, look, you don't want to believe everything you read in the papers.
You've been lying to me, Barney.
No.
Should I tell you how I know? I called Mr. Kendall. I spoke to him.
You're kidding me. Kendall don't speak to nobody.
Yeah, especially to you. But I called at lunchtime when his girl was out, and he answered the phone himself, and I said, "Sir, my agent Barney Hogarth told me you had agreed to give me the part."
You said that to Roderick Kendall?
And you know what he said? "Who's Barney Hogarth?"
Oh, now, baby, you see, it's a joke.
There never was a part for me.
Look, I read the script, and I thought that you'd be
and
great.
You lied to me.
Well, I... Okay. But I'm willing to make it up to you. You see, honest, you're just not another girl.
Oh, that's a very original line. I heard it in at least 20 movies.
Oh, honey, I'm willing to get you an apartment. Now, don't that prove something, huh?
But you're not willing to get me in a play.
I can't.
Sure, because you're not big enough.
No. Oh, it's because you're not good enough.
What did you say?
Oh, Selena, there are a million girls like you.
Why didn't you tell me this before, instead of after?
Because I'm no good, and this business is no good, and you go home, do you hear me?
I heard that line before, too. You're going to pay for what you did to me.
But, honey, what did I do to you? Look, you don't kid me. For all those innocent eyes you've been around, you...
You lied to me.
Well, honey, that's showbiz.
And I'm going to kill you.
Yeah. What? Oh, now, come on, don't make me laugh.
You're cheap, shabby, and false.
Selena, you're starting to raise your voice. You're playing the scene all wrong.
I won't be able to look at myself in the mirror again until you're dead.
She said she'd kill you.
That's what she said, Sergeant. And she sure was mad enough.
But if she was angry enough to kill you, why did she kill Sebastian?
Why? The eternal why. Once again, you should know why. All the evidence is already in. Every vital clue that Detective Sergeant Garvey is about to discover is a fact you know already. Well, while all of these trips are free, it's more fun to work your passage. See you in just a few moments when we all embark again for the third act.
I want that sinus medicine.
Headache tablet?
No, the sinus medicine that relieves headache and congestion, internal sinus pressure and post-nasal drip.
You mean Sinoff?
Exactly.
Compare Sinoff tablets with anything you've ever taken for sinus. No sinus tablet you can buy relieves more symptoms. Sinoff gives you a full dose of pure aspirin plus a powerful sinus drainer. Sinoff works fast to help sinus pain while you drain.
S-I-N-E-O-F-F.
Sinoff, the sinus medicines in the bright red box. Take when needed, only as directed.
Last month, I noticed my oldest boy. He seemed so much older. I spent a lot of time away from home, but boy, that was a shock. He's growing up without me. I figured if I was going to have any influence in his life at all, I'd better start now. So I set aside one night a week, and each week I take a different child, and we go and do whatever they want. And you know, it's amazing what it's done for the kids. And me.
Give your children everything. Give them your time. A thought from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, the Mormons.
Your Lung Association takes great pride in preventing the half a dirty dozen.
They call me tuberculosis. TB for short, but not for long, right? Wrong.
Yeah, I'm chronic bronchitis. That's my trademark. Don't dismiss it lightly, unless you'd like to meet my friend here.
Emphysema, that's me. The kind of guy who'd steal your last breath. Occasionally, I'm mistaken for...
asthma. I'm strictly impartial. I don't care whose breath I rob. I even steal from kids.
I'm a cigarette. Now, I may be a little, but I'm dangerous. After all, you know what they say about small packages.
Air pollution, alias the gray ghost. I can do more damage at one time than all these guys put together just by hanging around.
To join in the fight against breath robbers, see your doctor at the first sign of shortness of breath. Don't smoke and try to avoid polluted air. Your Lung Association considers it a matter of life and breath.
Her name is Selina. She has killed three men. Whether or not her cause is just is not for us to decide here below. Certainly, her reasons are the oldest reasons in the world. You know what they say about women scorned, women spurned, women betrayed? Believe it. Believe everything you hear. You're aware of what happened to several men who didn't.
That's right, Sergeant. She was mad at me. Why didn't she kill Sebastian?
You took her for a ride, Mr. Hogarth.
Oh, you gotta believe me. I was really crazy about it.
And Frank Clancy took her for a ride. And so did Joseph Carraway. But Sebastian...
Hey, I remember now. She even liked him. They'd sit around and chew the fat in the office like I gotta say this, like they were sisters.
Well, at least we now know her full name. Selina what?
Hey, I don't remember.
What do you mean you don't remember?
Well, she come into the office the very first time. She says, I want to be an actress. And I says, what's your name, honey? She says, Selina, and I can't remember.
Don't you have it written down?
Yeah, well, you see, it was a long jawbreaker of a name. I think it's out of Dutch or Polish or, you know. So I said, no, that can't be your name. We'll call you. And you see that calendar on the wall? The Jenkins photographers? Selina Jenkins.
But her real name?
Jenkins kind of fitted her, you know, nice country girl sound.
Uh-huh. Where was she from?
Well, it had to be a small town.
Where?
I never asked her. She said something about Pennsylvania or Ohio, maybe Indiana.
Try to think.
What's the difference? Once you cross the Hudson River, it all looks like Bridgeport anyhow.
So, we have no way of knowing her real name or where she comes from. Now, look, I have to ask you to recall every circumstance surrounding the death of Sebastian, every detail.
Mm-hmm.
You called him into your office. Why?
It had to do with not letting certain calls go through and... and he'd also brought in the mail, yeah.
So he placed the mail on your desk and then turned to leave?
No. It was only one letter. He read it to me.
And then he died?
Yeah, just about. Now, the letter needed an answer, so I wrote it. And this is kind of personal. I give it to him to mail, and then as he's gone out, it happened. Just like that.
What's this, Selena? You about to leave?
Yes, Mama. It's high time I was going back to pursue my career.
Well, you could have a very nice career down here, honey. The oldest Franklin boy would marry you in a minute.
I know, Mama.
And he's got the farm and a partnership in the mill. And he's very smart.
That's true, Mama.
Good looking?
Best looking boy in the county, Mama. I'll write you from New York.
Oh, now, it's a bad time of year for colds. Do you remember to take some of that bark Grandpa brought home from South America?
Oh, Mama.
You scrape off just a tiny, minute amount, the first sign of a sniffle. Not too much, though. They do say it can really lay you low if you go whole hog.
Now, Mama, I know how to use it.
And you remember, in case the people in New York don't know how to fully appreciate your talent, you come right back home, you hear?
Yes, Mama. I hear.
I'm sorry to bother you again, Mrs. Carraway.
Can I help in any way, Sergeant?
The girl, Selena, figures prominently in all three deaths. She could have placed the poison somewhere in Mr. Hogarth's office, and poor Sebastian was killed by mistake. I spoke with the late Mr. Clancy's associate, who says the way people come and go at the club, it wouldn't have been difficult for her to get in there.
Are you saying she could have come in here to plant the poison?
Yes.
Well, I hesitate to advise you in your own trade, Sergeant, but isn't that a rather haphazard method?
Yeah, it bothers me, too.
It backfired, obviously, in Mr. Hogarth's case and killed that poor Sebastian.
Well, we know they died of poison. Poison has to be administered somehow and somewhere. Look, tell me the exact circumstances surrounding your husband's death.
Well, it was very simple and direct. One moment...
Yes, I know. You came into the room. You said you were going downtown. He was writing a letter.
Well, he had just finished the letter. It was ready to be mailed. I took it from him and...
Wait a minute. You took a letter from him to drop in the mail?
Yes.
So did Sebastian. He took a letter from Hogarth. No, but that's no good, because if there's anything to that, you're the one who should be dead.
I beg your pardon?
The letter he gave you, what happened to it?
Well, when he had the attack, I dropped it on the floor of his study, and it should still be there.
Yes, here, right near the desk. You never moved a thing. It's addressed to box number 1234, 34th Street Post Office. May I open it?
Well, of course.
Dear Miss, I am the man, Joseph Carraway. What do you suppose this means?
I don't know.
Is there anything on his desk that could lead us to an answer?
Well, I haven't been able to bring myself to go through his papers.
Could you do it now?
Well, I'll have to eventually. Yes, I'll do it now.
And if there's anything that might be important...
I understand, Sergeant. I understand.
Well, yeah, I remember. I come running in here when I heard he was lying in there in his chair.
Now, Jerry, think. Was there a letter that was ready to be mailed?
A letter. Oh, yeah, I remember that. Yeah, Frank Clancy was not a guy who wrote letters. His motto was, never put it in writing.
A letter ready to be mailed?
Yeah, I remember. All sealed with a stamp. I even remember it was addressed to a box number.
What happened to the letter?
What happened to the letter? I don't know. I guess it's still on his desk.
You found me. I'm that same Frank Clancy. Barney, there was a letter you addressed to a box number. You'd just written it. You gave it to Sebastian Proudfoot to mail. Where's the letter?
The letter? I mailed it.
You mailed it?
Well, it was a personal thing, you know.
What did the letter say?
Look, this doesn't have anything to do with...
Did it say, I am the same Barney Hogarth?
How do you know?
Okay, Mr. Hogarth. Who did you send the letter to?
I don't know.
Two other men wrote letters identifying themselves to somebody. Now, what kind of hustle was being worked here?
Hustle? Yeah. Hey, yeah, now, you know, now that you lay it out, it does sound like a hustle. But what could she hope to gain by it?
She?
Hey, if it really is a dame. Look. Look here, I got a letter in the mail. Hey, read it.
If you are that man, please tell me so. I will send you a check for $50,000. I enclose a stamped, self-addressed envelope for your convenience. Sign forever in your debt.
Word for word, that's the letter that Frank Clancy and Barney Hogarth each receive.
But what's the purpose of it?
The post office box doesn't even exist.
What does that mean?
It means that whoever sent that letter didn't really care about getting an answer.
Well, then why enclose a stamped, self-addressed envelope?
Why? So that...
Sergeant? Sergeant, is something the matter?
Is it possible? Can it be that simple?
Well, I'm afraid I don't understand you, Sergeant.
Mrs. Carraway, you've been of the greatest help. Now I'm sure I know how your husband and those other two men died.
But what are you saying, Sergeant?
It was a mistake. The killer didn't want Sebastian. She wanted you.
The killer?
Selina.
But Selina wouldn't... But I mean, she's such a pretty little thing.
So's a coral snake.
But I don't even know where we can find her.
I do.
Where?
Right here.
Here?
She'll be back. She has to be back. She missed you. She'll come back and make sure of you.
What do you mean? How? What do you...
She'll have to do it soon, too. So my advice to you is don't leave the office.
What do you mean, don't leave?
Live here, sleep here. Eat all your meals at a restaurant.
But I can't.
And I'll be here with you. I want to wait for her.
Well, what makes you think that
I'm your new assistant.
Are you crazy? You couldn't fool anybody. You look exactly like a cop.
I'll just have to do the best I can. But I'm not letting you out of my sight.
Hello.
Well, hello.
Is Mr. Hogarth in?
That depends. Who wants to see him?
Selina Jenkins.
Selina? Won't you sit down, Miss Jenkins?
Thank you.
She's here.
Well, why don't you arrest her?
I have no evidence.
But she wrote all those letters, didn't she?
We can't prove any of it.
But she threatened me. She threatened the other two also.
Threats alone are not proof.
But what are we gonna do?
We have to catch her in the act. But what? That's how the law works. You can't arrest someone before they commit a crime.
But she's already committed three murders.
We can't prove those yet. We hope to prove yours.
Mine?
The coffee pot's out near my desk. Now I'm going back out there.
You mean she's alone out there?
Don't worry.
But suppose she has a gun. Did you ever think of that?
She doesn't use guns. She's got this poison thing down pat. It works. Now, I came in here to give her a chance to doctor the coffee.
Oh, I hope you know what you're doing.
If you knew what you were doing originally, I wouldn't have to be here in the first place. Mr. Hogarth is tied up just now, but he asked you to wait.
He's angry with me, I know. I behave foolishly. But I'm truly sorry now.
I know. I'd forgive you.
You're such a flatterer.
Oh, excuse me. Yes, Mr. Hogarth. Oh, you want those Allied contracts? I'll bring them right in. Oh, well, it's always one thing after another. I better bring him a cup of coffee, too.
Yes, he certainly loves coffee.
He said for you to wait. He wouldn't be long. Well, did she or didn't she? This coffee goes to the lab. If it has poison in it, we've got her.
Maybe she ain't the one.
She's the one, and I'm sorry for her. You just sit here in your office. I'll bring the coffee out again. He didn't want the coffee.
Oh, that's unusual for him. He drinks it all day.
Well, no sense letting coffee go to waste. Would you like a cup?
No. No, thank you.
Well, I might as well drink it myself.
Oh,
What is it?
I think I got something in my eye. Here, look and see.
Oh.
Mm. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm so clumsy.
That's all right. There's still a little bit left in the cup, and here, what's spilled on the blotter can still be analyzed in the lab.
In the lab?
And you're sure to have some of that poison left in your purse. Well, what do you say?
I'm sorry about Sebastian.
Yeah. You figured out a very smart way for them to take poison. All you had to do was get a device that would make them answer a letter. Answer a letter by sending back a self-addressed envelope. And they would just lick the flap to seal it. And on the flap, mixed with the paste, was enough of that urcurare to kill them immediately.
It was a clever story. It even took in Mr. Carraway.
But the way it worked out, poor Sebastian sealed Mr. Hogarth's envelope.
I'm willing to be punished for that one.
I'm sorry. I have to place you under arrest.
The others deserved it. Well, I suppose it'll give me time to reflect on my career.
Yes, miss. Plenty of time.
Not as much as you might imagine. There were women on that jury, and her story must have touched a universal chord of sisterhood. Anyway, she'll come out still relatively young and still beautiful. So if she should ask you to help further her career, be discreet and be here, for I shall be back shortly.
If you're a businessman, you know how fast advertising costs are rising. Adflation, it's called. Wouldn't you like to stretch your ad budget? Increase reach without increasing cost? It can be done. It's been proven. The market was San Francisco, the time spring 74. The budget, $8,000. That money in television reached almost 1.5 million adults and delivered over 2 million impressions. Then the budget was split, 50% TV, 50% radio. Adult reach increased 28%, and commercial impressions more than doubled on the same budget. Across the country in New York, a similar study proved the same point. Radio in a mix with TV improves the buy. Radio is efficient. It's being welcomed into more and more media plans. Why not? After all, radio's a great mixer. Get radio selling for you. Call this station. We'll suggest ways radio can help you fight adflation. Furnished by Radio Advertising Bureau.
Each year, they sweep into the city armed with hope and illusion. And each year, they are forced to retreat, older, but infinitely wiser. The race for glory is to the swiftest of the swift. And if a little learning can be a dangerous thing, then just a little talent can be, and often is, a disaster. Our cast included Roberta Maxwell, Catherine Byers, Michael Tolan, Earl Hammond, and Richard Seth. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
You have to be suspicious when a man wants to give something away. I think he was completely cracked, except that crazy math of his works. So does his engine.
I don't have any idea what you're talking about.
He wants to give it to me. Now, you can't tell me there isn't a catch in that somewhere. He just wants to give it to me. The whole thing, no strings attached.
Give you what?
He's got this machine, this motor, this engine. Designed it, built it himself, he says, invented it. Draws its power from sunlight, sun rays. There's a difference. And it's just gonna blow the whole world up. That's all.
A bomb?
Oh, no. Just the opposite, I guess you could say. Only the mess it could make. It's like we made a wrong turn 100 years ago or so. All of us, our whole society, and...
This is KOIN in Portland.
He would have to meet with his National Security Council before making a decision on the nearly 4,000-man peacekeeping unit. Sadat's announcement is raising some questions at the UN, as we hear from Richard C. Hodlett.
Perplexity is the word at UN headquarters over President Sadat's response or lack of response to the Security Council appeal on UNEF, the UN emergency force. Members of the council worked late drafting a carefully worded call to Sadat to reconsider his attitude and agree to extend the force's mandate. The drafting was done over a period of several days with close and constant reference to Cairo through Egyptian diplomatic channels. Since the UNEF mandate was fully known to expire at midnight on Thursday, and since Sadat was well aware of what the council would ask him to do, Western diplomats are puzzled about his expressed intention to make a complete study of renewing the mandate. Some wonder whether Sadat might be toying with brinkmanship to add some conditions as the deadline draws near. But Egyptian sources say they expect a positive response from Cairo. Richard C. Hontle at CBS News, United Nations.
There was another clash early today between Israelis and Arabs. 7 Israeli soldiers were reported wounded after they crossed into Lebanon and fought with Arabs in the village of Kala. The Israeli military command says the soldiers were part of a group looking for what Tel Aviv described as suspected Arab terrorists. The Israelis say that during the gun battle, they blew up 2 houses from which the Arabs reportedly were shooting. The Israeli command says the troops took 7 prisoners and returned to Israel. More news in a minute.
I want that sinus medicine.
Headache tablet?
No, the sinus medicine that relieves headache and congestion, internal sinus pressure and post-nasal drip.
You mean Sinoff?
Exactly.
Compare Sinoff tablets with anything you've ever taken for sinus. No sinus tablet you can buy relieves more symptoms. Sinoff gives you a full dose of pure aspirin plus a powerful sinus drainer. Sinoff works fast to help sinus pain while you drain.
S-I-N-E-O-F-F.
Sinoff, the sinus medicines in the bright red box. Take when needed, only as directed.
Hi, I'm Mike Roy for The Cooking Thing, heard every Monday through Friday here on the CBS Radio Network.
Well, I guess that'd make me Denny Bracken, wouldn't it, huh?
Yeah, we'd also heard Saturday.
We are, too.
That's right.
Oh, how about that?
Yeah, and tomorrow we're going to get back to nature and grow a few vegetables.
We are. You're not going to grow any fig leaves or anything like that.
No. Well, fig we'll give for the whole thing. It's home gardening.
Home? You're going to garden at home?
Well, if I can bend over.
Tune in tomorrow, see if you can bend over, friends, right here on the CBS Radio Net.
The Senate has confirmed the nomination of David Matthews to be Secretary of Health, Education, and Welfare. Matthews is president of the University of Alabama, and Senate Majority Leader Mike Mansfield has called him a young man with great promise. The country's new Secretary of the Interior, Stanley Hathaway, is in the hospital. The department issued a statement on Tuesday, and Robert Pierpoint tells us about it.
In that statement, Hathaway says doctors at the National Naval Medical Center in Bethesda have advised him he is suffering from moderate depression brought about by physical exhaustion and fatigue. A former governor of Wyoming, Hathaway took office just over a month ago after difficult Senate hearings. He entered the Bethesda Naval Hospital for treatment last week. A hospital spokesman said he's progressing well and is in satisfactory condition. A reliable source told CBS News that the Interior Secretary actually submitted a letter of resignation to President Ford, who declined to accept the resignation and suggested instead that Hathaway take treatment for his illness. This same source said the depression was brought about at least in part by the Senate hearings, which centered around just how much of an environmental protectionist the former Wyoming governor really is. This source said he took the hearings personally, and in this town, you just can't do that. Robert Pierpoint, CBS News, at the White House.
The latest from space after this.
What does the price of potatoes have to do with using Quaker State Motor Oil in your car? Well, like everything else these days, even good old reasonably priced spuds have shot up in price. So you can imagine how much an engine repair will cost you. And here's where Quaker State Motor Oil comes in. You see, regular changes with Quaker State can help reduce costly engine repairs. Made from Pennsylvania-grade crude oil, the world's choicest, and refined an extra step, Quaker State's the number one selling motor oil. And now that you need Quaker State more than ever, you can find it in more places than ever. Quaker State may not drive down the price of potatoes, but it can certainly help save you some cabbage.
Quaker State, your car.
The the three American astronauts flying their Apollo spaceship will hold a news conference in a few hours. The astronauts have asked Mission Control to awaken them half an hour early so they can shave. Later today, they'll take some more pictures of Earth. The two Soyuz cosmonauts back on Earth fly to their home base at Star City near Moscow today for an expected meeting with Soviet Communist Party leader Brezhnev. The cosmonauts will hold a news conference tomorrow. I'm Ann Crosman, CBS News.
A new garbage collection rate approved by the Ontario City Council will mean a 25% across-the-board increase. The hike will cost residents $2.50 per can per week. Investments of short-term funds by the Malheur County Treasurer helped Treasure Valley Community College finish with a $10,000 balance on the books for the fiscal year. Fiscal Officer Jim Roberts said credit for the balance should go to Treasurer Jean Bond for her investments. The college in past years has been in financial trouble and operated for a time on an emergency budget. Treasure Valley Community College in September will initiate a two-year college degree program in Vail for part-time adult students in Willow Creek, Jameson, Brogan, Harper, and Vail. College President Emery Skinner says if the program receives sufficient support, it can become a permanent extension of college programs and services. The cul-de-sac proposed for a subdivision in Seaside has reached the end of the road. The Gordon and Joseph Perigo have told the City Council that they have decided to resubmit a plan for the proposed Nikanicum Lake subdivision without the controversial section after protests by residents in the area about plans to block off a street in the area to form the cul-de-sac. The Perigos have asked for a variance to be permitted to build the proposed street ending. Representatives of the North Coast Seafood Packers and Seafood Cannery Workers in the Astoria area will be meeting tomorrow with federal mediator Norman Lee in hopes of reaching an agreement to end a lockout that started June 17th. The two sides met today, the first since the lockout, but no progress was reported. The Astoria City staff has been asked to prepare a report to the state, including cost estimates for operating separate sanitary and storm sewers as required by the Department of Environmental Quality. While the City Council has agreed to provide the information by the end of the month, it apparently will balk on actually outlaying any money for the project to separate about 55 miles of sewers at an estimate of $14,688,000. The city officials believe the state and federal government should pay at least some of the major cost of the project, since the city has already spent $9 million on a sewer improvement project this past year. As Mayor Bob Chopping says, the council's stand against the city footing the total bill, they can put me in jail. Well, meter ripping is becoming quite a pastime in Astoria, and the city council is none too happy about it. The city council has decided to spend $1,300 to buy a machine that will drill through cement so that the entire pipe mounting for the parking meters can be installed in a firm place. The city this year alone has had 14 of its $85 per unit meters ripped right out of the ground, many in front of taverns and carried away. The $85 does not include the cost of installing the replacement. The weather for Portland metropolitan area, sunny and hot today, rather, and today and Thursday. Highs today near 90 degrees. In the mid-90s on Thursday. Lows tonight near 60 degrees. Light winds today. Chance of measurable rain near zero through Thursday. The present temperature in downtown Portland stands at 66 degrees. That's KOIN News, AM and FM. To 1209, I'm Bill Garrity.